So last night I preached at the 4:30, and if you want to go listen to that one, it's on our parish website, because this is different. And I just want to make sure that the people I talked to about last night know this one. Okay. So the first reading has to do with, this is a rebellious house. They are obstinate. The second one is weakness. Is a source of our strength. In weakness, we are made strong. The Word, especially the Gospel tonight, situates us before God in that tension. And it situates us, I think, in kind of an uncomfortable place. At least I find it true. So, this morning I sat with the text I used for preaching last night, and I realized something new. I realized something old, but in a new way. I realized my own defensive posture before Christ. It took me a while to get at it, but it was there. And I found the gospel to be more intrusive than I have ever before. I find that it's hopeful, yet I still want to resist it because it calls me to a kind of vulnerability I don't want. I don't want to discover that in weakness is our strength. Still don't. So, what's the opposite side of that? It's not just the hard-heartedness or the hard-headedness or whatever. It reveals, I believe, certainly my tendency, let's see if it fits for you, to want to domesticate God. Come here, boy. Come on, God. Come on. Oh, good, God. Good. Good, 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 good. Go get my shoes, God. Oh, go, go, go. Good. Come on, God. Oh, good. Thank you. Go get me a new car, God. Come on. Oh, good, 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 good. Get me this, God. Get me that. And so God becomes a servant of my wishes, my needs. I do it. Anybody else? I do it because of the fear of being vulnerable. I want to be in charge. So, the issue that's at work in the passage from the gospel has to do with faith. And the contrast that the author of the second gospel, Mark, proposes between Jesus' neighbors who don't believe, it's a contrast between those who don't believe and those who do. Mark locates the disciples somewhere in the middle. And for this point, it's still the disciples, this group of kind of vast, we don't know how many, until the 12 are called. So, I just want to look at tonight only one word from the Greek that is very interesting. It says the people were, it's translated, the people were astonished. The passage, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. It's ekpleso, is the Greek. La-di-da. The townsfolk were astonished at his teaching. You might think, oh, wow. But then they dismiss him. Now we know this guy is the son of Mary. He's got all his brothers and sisters here. What does he get all this stuff? But there's, what kind of teaching was this? There's only one place in the gospel where the disciples are astonished. Same verb. See what you think of this. I'll do it twice. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astonished. and said to one another, then who can be saved? This is not saying, oh wow, this is saying, what a crock. Why are you telling us this stuff? That's the kind of astonishment we're talking here. It's the kind that pushes back. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who is rich or entitled, a priest or a bishop, a CEO or a celebrity, a self-made man or woman, to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because in their strength is strength, not in their weakness. The difference between the disciples and the townsfolk is that the disciples, they don't dismiss Jesus. They're still arguing and fighting with him throughout. But what they do is they ask a saving question. Then who can be saved? They're still wondering. They're still wanting to be taught. That's the saving grace of the disciples and the apostles in the Gospel of Mark. They're still wanting to be taught even while they resist it. There's a place even after the resurrection. Jesus dies, he's resurrected. The first thing he does is catch the 11 and he gives them heck for not believing. I mean, these guys are point. Okay. Second part. Did you ever notice that none of the disciples, none of the 12 in the Gospels are ever healed? Did you ever notice that? There's a number of folks who receive healing with or without an expression of faith. Week or two ago, we heard about Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, asked Jesus to heal his daughter, and Jesus remarked on his faith. The woman with the hemorrhage, Jesus remarked on her faith. But none of these followed Jesus. They were content with this healing. There's one in the Gospel of Mark who was healed and who followed Jesus. You've got to go into the Greek to see it. It's not available in the English as much. And it happened. The healing of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, happened right after Jesus was teaching the disciples and speaking to them. They were arguing about who's the greatest. And he said, whoever wishes to be great must be the servant of all. How do you think that went over? So, Bartimaeus is blind and is a beggar. He asks simply to see. It says, Jesus, I'm going to get to the text, healed him, he could see, and he followed him along the way, which is a description of discipleship. The disciples were followers of the way. So what's the difference? Bartimaeus was willing, in his weakness as blind, to reach out with faith. Son of David, have mercy on me. To reach out from his vulnerability, from his blindness, from his need. He was willing to encounter Jesus, who said to him, what do you wish for me to do for you? And he said, my teacher. And this is the thing. Teach me. My teacher. I wish to, the Greek literally says, to look up and see. He says, go, your faith has made you well. The Greek is ambivalent because the Greek word sozo both means to heal, but to save or be saved. Go, your faith has saved you. And he got up and followed Jesus. Here's the takeaway, I hope. See what you think. Bartimaeus was willing not just to get you know, fix my eyeballs, you know, so I can see. He was willing to encounter Christ. He knew he was blind. He called out for mercy. He was ready for an encounter with Jesus, the teacher. So seeing has a dual thing. It's the physical part as well as the part of, I get what you're saying all this time. Jesus' words, go, your faith has saved you, gave him the freedom to go back and do what he wanted to do. He didn't. He followed Jesus along the way. This is the picture of discipleship. For him, he found in his weakness his strength. He may have had physical sight, but it says he was still, describes him as the blind man following Jesus. He tied himself as a blind man, yoked himself to Jesus, the teacher. It was only by being a student or a disciple that he knew he could learn to see more deeply. And so instead of the other crew, the disciples who are, hey, what are we doing here? And the townsfolk who don't give a rip, Bartimaeus here is saying, I see, but I don't see everything. I need to follow you. Need to follow. That's seeing. And the fullness of healing is both cure and salvation that leads one to enter into a deeper following of Christ. Here I am. To discover in our weakness, and our weakness is our strength. Perhaps we can ask our teacher for sight. So let's take a moment to consider how we can pray for our world, our church, and one another.